What I wanted to ask you about is your growing up days in the town before you were 14, before 1939, when the Russians came in.
Before the Russians came in?
Yeah, I'd like to ask.
I was going to Polish school, and my parents had a department store, a small department. Mm-hmm. And we lived in a Jewish community, and it's really happening if you didn't surprise some sort of saying this today. I don't say.
Well, did
you... What do you want to know?
Just a little bit, perhaps about the town. Maybe you could just describe what it looked like.
Well, it was a small town. I would say maybe there were about 30,000 people. And it was a border town. It was the Russian-Polish border. But it was a real border, not like the Mexican border. You never looked the other way. And the train didn't even come to the city. The train was 12 kilometers from the city. Because it was a Russian border. Nobody had anything ever to do with it. And there was a Jewish Kehillah, I don't know how to say it in English.
It's a Jewish organization, community organization?
Kehillah means like, I can't think of the word now, but if anybody needed help, there was always a place to go. And they had Jewish schools, there were Hebrew schools, and they had a lot of shuls, little ones and a big shul. And we were brought up in real Jewish tradition.
Which meant?
In a kosher house. And as a matter of fact, my mother was a president of an organization. It was that they used to help pregnant women go have their babies in a hospital. If you didn't have any money at all, you were poor, she and her committee used to give you the whole money to go to the hospital. But if you had a decent house, they would give you the sheets and send a midwife to the house. They really did a lot of good work.
And did you go to the synagogue?
I used to go holidays. I really didn't. My father used to go.
It's an Orthodox show?
Orthodox show, yeah. My father used to like film every day and used to go to show. Every Saturday with my brothers, as a matter of fact, my father was a coin and he practiced that.
And did you go to Jewish schools?
No. I went to Polish
school. So you had contact with the Gentiles?
Yes, I went to mixed school.
And right up to your 14th year to the Russians?
I went after the Russians came in, but then when the Russians came in, they took over the city without a shot. So I went right away to the Russian school, and I went for 2 years to the Russian school until Germany took over, and that was the end of my education.
What were your relations with the Gentile children when you were going to public school?
You stayed among your own. Not you didn't mix too much. You really didn't. They didn't like us too much, and sometimes they would tease us, and sometimes, especially the boys, they'd come up and they would know that we're not supposed to eat pork, and they'd rub a piece of pork in the mouth. And when there was a holiday, we always stayed away from them. We didn't mix. We didn't mix too much. There were Zionist organizations, and that I belonged to the Noatzim, Shama Noatzim. Shama Alumni, I'm not saying it right, I'm looking at the thing. Shama Alumni I belong to. And you're not supposed to, when you go to a Polish school, they didn't want you to belong to Zionist organization. But we did. We used to belong.
Who's the guy? The school officials or the...
No, There's a government Polish school that I went to. Most of the Jewish kids, although there were Jewish schools. And the very, very Orthodox didn't send their children to Polish schools. But in school, we used to have, like, once a week we had religion. So the class would divide in three. There would be Greek Orthodox, Jewish, and Catholic. And
what was the percentage of each group? About?
I would say about the same, because there was quite a Jewish population at
the time. Did your father trade with the harvester, or did the Gentiles go to his store?
Most of our customers, farmers, used to come to the store. Most of us.
And did he ever experience any, you know, anti-Jewish or anti-Semitism from people he dealt with in trade?
Yes, but you didn't pay too much attention to it. You really, you knew your place, and you acted accordingly.
Did you grow up feeling cautious, you know, or did you feel comfortable as a child?
I felt comfortable, but towards the end, before 1939, we started to feel more of the anti-Semitism than before. Towards the end, like, the Poles really raised their heads.
And that was because?
That was because they were Poles.
Do you think it increased because of Hitler's activities or things like that?
I personally don't think it had anything to do with it at the time. They always hated us. But they just got stronger.
Could you describe a little bit, like, the meetings, like the Zionist organization, what the meetings were like?
Well, I really didn't know too much about Zionism. It was a place to get together and to dance the horror. And we used to have plays, and they used to tell us a little bit about it, but in the Boys and Girls, they would meet a lot. We had a lot of nice Jewish kids, that's what you would meet them. And that was your social life. And we used to go there at school.
You said your family was comfortable materially, by you.
No, I'm not. We were middle, I wouldn't say we were not wealthy, but we were middle class people.
How about the rest of the Jewish family?
They were, you had wealthier people, you know? You had, like I told you, when my mother was president of the organization, as a child, when she used to have a board meeting in the house, I used to listen sometimes, and I used to hear how somebody would say, well, this one should get so much, and this one should get so much. And there was this family that was very, very poor. And every year the woman had a child. And I remember hearing somebody say, I swear she has a baby so she could have a rest once a year in the hospital. And how she always used to get everything. She thought they'd give her the whole money because they were very, very, very poor.
Was your mother religious too?
Not religious. I don't think, like I said, we had a kosher house, and my mother didn't go to shul during the year, just during the high holidays. And actually, the high holidays, we always had, they were festive in the house. We always knew clothes. We didn't really like one thing. We weren't rich, but we weren't poor.
Could you describe what your house looked like?
Our house. Oh.
Yeah, I think we were asking you to describe your house.
My house? Oh, we had four rooms. And we lived in a duplex. Near a river, and it was in a main street.
Was the neighborhood predominantly a Jewish neighborhood?
Yes. You mostly lived with a predominant, everybody did. But right, let's say a few streets over, there would be Gentile people that spoke Jewish.
How long ago?
They lived among Jewish people all their lives, so they spoke Jewish. And they were really the worst of the war.
Can you tell me a little bit?
Yeah, those are the Ukrainians that, like I told you in my tape, they were the ones that joined with the Germans. Because I was never afraid that Germans would recognize me. But a Ukraine or a Pole, I could always point the finger. And they didn't hesitate to do that. And they used to get a kilogram of salt as a reward for pointing the finger at the Jews.
Were these people friendly with you when you were growing up? Did you
greet
them?
We had nothing to do with them. They would come in, let's say the woman would come to wash the floor, wash clothes in our house. A Saturday morning she'd come to take the candlesticks off the table and put up the samovar, because those, my mother didn't do those things. And, but like this, we really didn't have anything to do with it. We just stayed separate.
What languages did you speak?
At that time I spoke Polish, spoke Ukrainian, Russian, and then when I was in hiding I learned Czechoslovakian.
Pardon me, and Yiddish?
Oh yeah, Yiddish was the language in the house.
That was what you spoke?
Yeah, we spoke among ourselves in the house. We always spoke Yiddish, except in school we spoke Yiddish.
Did you ever personally experience any anti-Semitism from any Gentile people?
No. Not until I left home. Of course it got easier when the Russians came in. The Jews picked their heads up when the Russians came in. Because everybody was equal then. At that time, the Jewish people had it very good in Russia. Of course, if you were very wealthy, then they would confiscate everything from you and they sent the rich ones away to Siberia. But if, other than that, they were very good to us. There isn't one bad thing I could say about the 2 years we were with the Russians.
And your father, he wasn't considered, even though he had a store, he
wasn't considered
capitalist.
Yeah, well, like I said, no, my father couldn't get a job. Because he was a businessman. He could. But not because he was Jewish. Because he was a businessman. Because all the jobs went to the working class.
How did you support yourself during those years?
Well, like I told you, we had a store. And they forced us, we had to sell everything. So we had all our relatives lined up in line. There was a line outside. Outside the store, you had to sell everything. And all our relatives would stand in line and they would take a lot of the clothes and take it home and then they'd give it to us and we buried everything. And when we would go home from the store, everybody would put on a lot of sweaters and a lot of dresses and things. And what we used, that's how we lived. We used to sell merchandise, not sell, exchange with the farmers. They would give us food. And we're given coffee. And that's how we lived for 2 years.
What was the day like for you when the Germans came in?
When the Germans came in, it was a disaster right away. First day. The first German we met, and he was from the Wehrmacht, said to us right away, the day the SS comes here, that's your end. Because the Wehrmacht were just, they were just soldiers, they didn't do anything for it. But except the city got destroyed in the week because it was a border town. So there were street fights for a whole week between the Germans and Russia.
And you just stayed in the house?
Not in the house. We stayed in one of our cousins. Didn't live like not in a main street. So we went there and they had a big cellar and the whole street, the whole neighborhood came to that cellar and we all stayed there. for the whole week.
I wanted to kind of... Oh, one more question about... Were your parents or your mother and father, perhaps older brother, political at all? Were you participating?
No. Well, all the kids belong to Zionist organizations.
But not to elect people to the Polish government?
No.
What happened to your sister between the time that you went to the city? I'm skipping way ahead, mm-hmm. you know. And you met up with her again after the...
After the war?
Yeah.
My sister's in Israel now. My sister got married in Austria. And her husband was a partisan during the war. And he wouldn't hear about the United States. He wanted to go to Israel. So...
I mean, the time, weren't you separated for a period?
We're separated, during the war. I mean...
Yeah, well, you were both in hiding with the family, and then you went...
Yes,
to
the different
city,
people.
And then I seem to miss...
No, that's right. Well, we separated. That's the only way we could survive. She didn't have it as good as I did, because wherever she was, they didn't know she was Jewish. So she was a real maid on a farm, claiming that she doesn't know farming because she used to be a maid for Jewish people. And of course she could get away with it a little better because she had straight hair and a button nose that I envied. Yeah.
Now, it said that you were liberated by the Soviets in February of 44.
Right.
And then a year passed, so May of 45, when you left Poland.
We left Russia. That was
you left
Russia.
Russia. Yeah, right, okay. Could you tell me a little bit just what that year
was
like?
Yes, when we were freed, the Russian were very good with survivors, and I worked in a Russian office. And as a matter of fact, I went a little bit further into Russia because I was so afraid the Jews were going to come back. So I went as far as Zhytomyr, and I worked there in an office until my brother came back from Russia. And so we went closer to home. And we never went back to hometown. There was nothing there to go to. And then my sister, my brother, and I lived there. And we all worked. And that's how we supported. So.
Were there any more of your relatives? Friends?
No, nobody. It's just that I knew a cousin survived, but by the time I got there, he was in the Russian army, and he got killed in Berlin. I have a few cousins, but they live in Israel.
And then, in May of 45, you left illegally, you said?
No. In 45, we left legally from Russia to Poland. You left the Russian government, we were Polish citizens. So they let everybody go to Poland. They were controlling Poland anyway, so they let us go. But all the Jewish people left with the idea to go to Palestine. I don't know why, but everybody was thinking that.
And that was your idea as well?
Yeah, we all thought that. Of course, you didn't talk about it, because the world might be listening.
What were the Russians doing when you were with
the country? Not that they know, and Russia, even if you go to apply for a job, there you have to fill out certain things. There's a question, do you have relatives abroad? And if you possibly can say no, you say no, because it's not good to have relatives, unless if you have a close friend, a father or mother or brother, and everybody knows about it, so you'll say it. Otherwise you say no.
So then you left Russia or Poland with the intention of going to Palestine.
Right.
So then what happened?
Then we went to Poland in the city of Lodz. And from there, we left illegally. We left as Greek Jews.
How long did you stay in Lodz?
I don't remember exactly how long it was. Maybe 6 months. I really don't remember exactly. So there were agents from Palestine working in all the cities getting together the survivors and sending them out illegally to Austria to DP camps. So we left Poland as Greek Jews, couldn't speak a word, nothing. We were told that if we were stopped, ask questions, just don't talk. Talk Hebrew. If you don't know any Hebrew, pray. Say a morning prayer, a night, any word like you pray, show. And of course, if you're not supposed to talk, you're young, you laugh a lot. And that helped. So we were stopped on the border, and we heard a soldier say, they understand everything we are saying, they are Polish Jews. And we didn't move a muscle. We denied everything. And from Poznań, we came to Czechoslovakia. And they had, like, from Palestine, they really had special stops in certain cities. So we knew we were going to special places in Czechoslovakia. So when we got there, and at the station, and he started to talk to us, the guy, and we all speak Greek. So he said, wait a minute. There's a man that is from Greece. Well, we start to run. We just left. And from there we went to Austria. In Austria, we were in Vienna, and very old, run-down hotel for a few weeks until they sent us to Linz, Minsk, Badkastan. There were DP camps.
What were they like? Where did you live?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was very lucky that Badkastan is a beautiful resort in the Alps. And and it was at that time occupied by a lot of Germans. They put out all the Germans, and all the DPs, all the survivors took over all the hotels, and we lived there for about 3 years. It's the most beautiful resort. Of course, what the survivors did to those hotels is another story, but it was good. And the American joint hires, they helped us.
With your food and clothing?
Yes. We got food from the Americans, and we ate, and there's a special dining room for everybody. And every people were lonely, so there were weddings every single day. And it's quite 3 years, but it was wasn't bad in a DP camp.
Did you have your own room or in the hotel?
Yes, we had a room. My sister, my brother, and I had a room. And then my sister got married, and she went with her husband to Palestine. And I was with my brother, and then they moved our camp to a different city. And that's where I met.
Did you know the any of the American soldiers? Did you get family in America?
No.
Were they generally treat you?
Very nice. Very nice. As a matter of fact, there was one Jewish soldier that always used to come around and visiting with all of us. And in about 18 years ago, he visited us here. He called up one night and wanted to come, and my son, a little boy then, and he wanted to talk to me. And I was getting ready to go to the dorm with him. So I said my mother couldn't come to the phone. He said to him, and I don't remember the name anyway, he said to him, tell her the schmunk the soldat wants to talk to her. You know, the soldat wants a soldier. Oh, I ran to the phone. That's the only name I knew, because he was in business in Vancouver. And he saw there a friend of mine who gave him my, he said he's going to Boston in business. So we met the next day, and he took us out for dinner.
Were there concentration camp survivors where you were living?
No.
And it was your group for
No, there are concentration survivors.
Yes,
yes, there are a lot of concentration camp survivors, but I have not been in a concentration camp.
Right, but did you speak to them about it?
Yes, and at the time, they were horror stories, and to this day, I cannot listen to those stories. They do a terrible job on me. As a matter of fact, when I first came to the state, and I had two little children, I used to have terrible nightmares. Every day, I would have nightmares that I'm with my kids in concentration camp. I would wake up screaming and fall asleep again, and the dreams would continue. That, I had that for a few years, but thank God it stopped. And I never was in a concentration camp.
Did any of the people who were in concentration camps feel any envy because you weren't, or express any?
We didn't talk about it much. As a matter of fact, we talk about it more now since the Holocaust picture than before. Of course, when we are alone, just with survivors, no matter what we talk about, the end of the conversation, we always come back to our past. But if we are American people, we try not to talk about it because we think that people are not interested. But later we discovered that people are interested. They didn't ask us anything because they're afraid that it hurts us too much to talk about it. We didn't talk about it because we thought they're not interested. And we're both wrong.
So, and would it be 48 that you moved from the camp you were in to the one city where you met your husband?
That's
right,
yeah.
And where was the new camp?
The new camp was in it was in Linz, Bindermittel Linz. That's where my husband lived. We got married in Salzburg.
Salzburg?
Yeah. With the festivals. And then we lived in my husband's camp, DP camp. My brother lived for us too.
Where, what was the living situation there?
It wasn't bad at all. We had, as a matter of fact, we had two rooms with a bathroom. I worked in the office there. And I had a problem because the American government, Jewish organizations,
did you experience, did you feel once you were safe in these camps that you were safe, or did you,
No, I tell you, when I was in the camps, or in DP camp really, I acted like an overgrown teenager. I was no teenager because I never had any teen years. I acted as an overgrown teenager, but when I came to the States, I acted very old. I was young, but I acted old. I wasn't as young as an American-born person my age. 10 years later, we started to act alike. But when I first came here, I acted very old.
Yeah, in the camps, you acted up.
Like an overgrown teenager, we acted because we never went to dances. I never had any teen years, and everything was in the camp.
Were you still planning to go to Palestine after you and your husband got married?
This is before. I was planning to go with my brother to Palestine to join my sister. We even sent away the few things that we had. We made it to Israel so we can go with nothing. But then I found relatives in the States, distant relatives, and a very dear friend of my mother's. And my mother was always in touch, and she was from Boston. And so my brother and I talked it over, and we decided we'll go to the States first and see what's doing here. We can always go to Israel. And that's how we settled here.
How did you find the relatives?
Through a newspaper, a Jewish newspaper. We like would give information to American soldiers, to Jewish American soldiers, and when they would go back home, they'd put ads in the papers, and that's how we found.
The relatives contacted you,
yes.
And the friends of your mother?
Yes.
Contacted you.
Yes.
How did you feel when you got
the
letter?
The first letter that my mother's friend sent to us. My mother was always in touch with me. The first question she asked me, what zone are you in, Russian or American? If you were in the American zone, we'd send you papers. So So then when I met my husband, who didn't have papers, I keep to go on my papers. But we had to wait a long time until our relatives were supposed to pay for our trip. And they were willing to pay. But by the time we were called to go, because there was a quota, they didn't have to pay the highest pay.
They had changed the regulations,
yeah,
during that period. They, I think, the Refugee Act.
Right, and the highest pay.
So how long was the waiting period? How long did you have to wait?
We waited a few years. I waited a few years before I met my husband. I had papers a long time.
To go here?
To the United States. There was a quota.
Then you heard from your relatives early on.
Yeah, and they used to send me packages already. And I tell you, I never was in touch with them before the war, and I never even knew they existed. I didn't know about my mother's friend.
Was it explained to first receive that letter from the relative?
Oh, if you had a relative in the United States, you were it.
Well, what was, apart from the fact that there were relatives, what was the lure of the United States over Palestine?
Well, we knew they were fighting there, and we were like, just came out of a war, and we did feel like going into another one right away. You knew you should go there, but it felt like you wanted to rest a while.
So, let's see, you were living in your husband's camp in 48, around there?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, I think it was February 2nd, 49, you left for the... You described the day you found out that you were ready to leave for the United States.
Oh, we were just thrilled. We were just thrilled. That was quite a day, because we were sitting in camp, although we had it pretty good there, but you were just waiting for the day to go. And every day you heard, this one is going to go, they called a few. And so I never thought my turn is going to come. And we were quite excited.
And can you describe the day you actually left?
The day we left, we sold everything we had to why the Jewish people that came into camp. They took our place. A lot of Hungarian Jewish people came in. And we went to Bremen. And it was a terrible voyage, really, because I was terribly seasick. Very seasick, because it was in the winter. But the minute you step on American soil, you forget all about it. And our distant relatives came to New York to meet us. They were standing there with a picture that I had sent them.
So you saw them?
Yeah, they recognized me from the picture.
Country was the ship, did the ship belong to? What register?
It was a warship. A very warship. It wasn't a luxury ship. It was a warship. The men were separate and the women were separate.
Belonging to the Americans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a warship.
Were the crew friendly?
Yes. They were very friendly. They treated us very good. They gave us the best food that we couldn't eat because we were seasick. I was so seasick I couldn't eat anything. We even had the ice cream in the middle of the window. We couldn't get over it because ice cream we only ate in the summer of Poland. But we couldn't eat it. I was so sick.
And it was filled with refugees coming in?
Yeah, the whole ship was full of refugees, survivors from all kinds of different countries and places, and the crew.
So then you landed in New York and met the relatives.
And met the relatives, and the same day we went back down to Boston.
What was it like? What was your impression? You know, it was New York, which you saw briefly.
The New York, the first impression was to me bare because it was so dirty, and the newspapers were flying all over our face, and we were coming from a very clean country. That was the first impression. It was hard settling first in a country when I didn't know some English, because I took English in school. If people spoke slowly to me.
I didn't understand. But it was harder for my husband, who didn't know English.
And my mother's friend was very nice to us. They found an apartment for us, a furnished apartment for us. And they filled a little refrigerator with food. We got a job for him, for my brother. And the third day we were here, my husband went to work. And after that, we lived in Dorchester in a furnished apartment. And after a couple of months, they found an apartment for us in Malden. It was furnished, but we bought all the furniture. We borrowed money in the bank, and they signed for us. We paid back every penny we'd owe. We didn't owe anybody anything. We paid back quite also. And
when did you move to Everett?
I moved to Everett four years later. And so we lived in an apartment for another, let's say, 2 years. And then we bought a house on the same street, a three-family house. It wasn't in good condition, but it was ours. And my husband was very hardworking, and he fixed a lot of things. And then we remodeled all three floors. And we lived there for 25 years. And 3 years ago, we sold the house. And we got a house to live in.
When you first came to Boston, your relatives helped you find a house, and your mother's friend did it, is that right?
No, they didn't.
I mean,
my
mother's apartment. Yeah.
Yeah. They helped us find a house.
Did the Jewish organizations, the Pious, do anything? Or?
The Jewish Family Service, which is, I think they work together with the Highest. They helped us.
What did they do for us?
When I got pregnant, they gave me a crib and a carriage and diapers and everything. And they took me to the hospital. But I don't think they paid for the hospital because I was an outpatient. And the BI. And but they helped us. Like, if there was a time when my husband wasn't working, he was laid off once, so they gave us money. So they helped us for a short period of time, when we needed.
So there, in some ways, to fall back on a little bit?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
What kind of job did your husband do?
He was a sheep, he worked as a sheep mechanic.
With whom did you socialize the first, say, year? Or?
At first, we didn't have anything in common with the young people, so we socialized only with our own survivors. And we had a lot of friends, and we have a lot of friends. But then, as we settled here more, most of our friends now are American-born people. We moved to Everett. That's where the Everett people really very warm, nice people, and I got very active in the community there. As a matter of fact, I was president of Hadassah there. And that's when I started to think young again. And I couldn't mix out with American people. American people are good people. They're very easygoing people. And we are not easygoing, but I wanted to be easygoing. And little by little, we're getting older but younger.
And you were still living in Boston? Did you join the temple there?
I never lived in Boston.
Oh, Dorchester.
No, we were there just maybe a couple of months or 3 months, I don't really remember exactly. No.
In Malden?
No. We just would go to show Rosh Hashanah, but never had money to buy a ticket or anything. In Everett. We belonged to temple, we were part of it, we still belong there, and we helped build it, and we're very active. We still are.
Well, if you came into contact at all with Jewish American people, when you first, well, your relatives, I suppose, and your mother's friends, did they express an interest in what had happened to you, what your experiences had been?
Nobody asked us too much about it, and we felt bad about it. We didn't talk much about it. I think, when I think back now, I know that they didn't talk to us about it because they were afraid it hurts us too much. And we were hurt that nobody wanted to know what happened to us.
Did you talk about with the other survivors?
Always.
Then? Always, yeah.
Always. Always. Talk less and less about it, but still, even now, when we get together and there are no other people around, you can go to the best good time. And somehow, somebody will say one word, and you end up talking. We'll go for a ride on a beautiful day. And somehow I'll go by someplace and I'll see woods. The first thing I'll say, gee, this would be a good place to hide. Well, I don't think normal people think like that. And it's really a miracle that we are as normal as we are.
I guess the last question I really want to ask you is, if you could articulate maybe in what way you feel that experience influenced the way you view life now, outlook and attitude.
I don't worry too much about the future, and this is because of my past. I think it's because I take one day at a time. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's in the future. Never mind.
Thank you.
Oh, we both finished at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we are.